Well, last Sunday we began a series of messages called Getting Past Your Past. And we talked about how to break through as far as getting that process started about getting past our past. We need to depend on the power of Jesus Christ. And today we're going to talk about a key step, a very important step, and that is forgiving our hurts. Now, let me just say this at the very beginning. As I begin praying about this Sunday and about you, I want to say a couple things, and here it is. If I were to ask you, what does Jesus want us to do about forgiveness, you'd go, well, we're supposed to do it. But here's the thing. I don't want this message to be just something where we go, okay, I know I need to forgive. Let me just try harder. Because let me tell you, that is not what some of you need to do. What some of you need to do is that you are in a prison, and the only way out of that prison is the key of forgiveness. It is affecting your relationships, it is affecting you spiritually, and you need to let go of some things, and you need to start today. So I'm going to challenge you today. I'm not going to just go, okay, yeah, we're supposed to forgive, I know that, so I'll try. That's not what I want to hear you, that's not what I want you to hear from me today. I want you to hear that God has a way for you to do that, and you need to start it. Now here's the thing. When we think about forgiveness, it is at the very foundation, the very core of Christianity. I mean, it all starts with us being forgiven, and then we are to forgive other people. I mean, you can't really, the very heartbeat of Christianity is all about forgiveness. And so when we think about getting past our past, we have to have forgiveness in place in our lives. And some of you, you've pushed it down. You try not to think about it. Every once in a while, something happens that brings it back up. And you have this process where it's basically you need to forgive. Now, I don't know who it is. It might have been a coworker who betrayed you. It might be a friend who you thought was a friend and turned out to not be a friend. It might be a spouse that cheated on you and left you. It might be a parent who abandoned you. It might be that you're a little bit mad even at God. It might be that you haven't forgiven yourself, and you need to forgive yourself today. I don't know who it is, but I just know some of you today, and my prayer has been all week, that this Sunday morning in this service, that you would do some business with God and get this underway. Get this going. It is that important for your life. Okay? So I'm going to challenge you. And we're going to look at what the Bible says, and then we're going to look deeper into one passage, and then we're going to, I just want to challenge you all morning long that you start this process, because forgiveness is a decision to start, and then it's a process. Okay? Now, just to make sure we're all on the same page, let me do a survey. How many of you, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment, how many of you have been hurt by somebody in your life? Would you raise your hand? Okay, and if you'll notice anyone who did not raise their hand, please do something ugly to them today, okay? Because we all want to be on the same page here. We all want to kind of have equal footing on this kind of deal. Now, I have a lot of people say this to me, John, okay, I know I'm supposed to forgive, yeah, I need to try harder about that. But you do not know what I went through. And I want to say this morning, I don't. But I do know about the pain of when someone hurts you, and I do know the struggle of trying to forgive somebody that's really hard to forgive. I know that. You see, and I kind of thought about this week, it's really a struggle of how much of this I was going to tell you, because I want to honor who I'm going to talk about, and I also, though, want to tell you what happened. So let me just tell you. One of the people in my life that was the biggest challenge to forgive was my father. And let me tell you this story. One day I got a phone call from my mother, and she said, John, and I'm the oldest, and it turned out I was the only one that got these phone calls. My brother and sister were not involved in this at all till the very end. She said, John, I need to tell you what's going on. I think your dad is about to leave. I think somebody else is involved. Long story short, turned out there was another woman. He leaves. Divorces happen. Holidays get weird. Everybody's mad. Nobody's talking to each other. And it goes forward like that. And then go fast forward a little bit, and then things begin to change a little bit, and I get a phone call. During this time, my father has never talked to me about the situation. He has never asked to be forgiven. He has never even addressed the situation ever. I get a phone call from my father. And this is what he asks me to do. He says, I want to ask you a favor. I said, okay, what's that? He said, I want to know whether or not you would do your mom's and mine's wedding. Now, I'm going to tell you, there was a time in which I had a real quick answer to that favor. And the answer would have been absolutely not. No way am I going to do that. What is she thinking? But let me tell you what had happened during that period of time. Although he never asked for it and he never addressed it, I forgave him. And that changed everything. So I am one of the few people, and it's kind of weird when you say it, I did my parents' wedding. Okay? Not everybody can say that. I performed my parents' wedding. Now, let me tell you, that process, I don't know what you went through, and I don't know your story. And you have a story. You have stories. But I do know this. I know what it's like to forgive somebody when it's really hard to forgive somebody. And Jesus did not say, forgive people if it's easy. He said, you need to forgive people. I'll try harder. No, I don't want you to try harder. Because it isn't going to get it. You have to depend on Jesus' power, and you need to do something about it. And so I want us to dig in today and look at what the Bible says. Let the Bible speak to us. And some of you need to take some action today on what we are going to talk about. So let's start. So why do we need to forgive? Why should I even forgive anybody? Why should I forgive anybody? Well, the first reason is because unforgiveness hurts me. Because unforgiveness hurts me. Now, I want to go back and pick up that first verse that you have there in your outline. It's going to hurt you, but notice what it says, and we're going to look at these two passages. First, Mark 11:25. Notice what it says. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone. Now, that means, here's a spiritual connection. I think every time you pray, and of course, we're supposed to pray. I mean, that's our relationship with God. We need to be praying and talking to Him and listening to Him, and we need to be praying. When you pray, it should be like a little checklist. Okay, as I pray, that means I need to think, who do I need to forgive? Who do I need to forgive? And then notice what it says. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. But we need to be in that forgiveness process. Now let's go to that next verse, which is Hebrews 12:15, and it says this. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. I want to say to some of you today, and you know who you are, you have a bitter root as described in this verse in Hebrews. You got one. And you know how you can tell? If somebody brings up the topic, you go, well, he did this, she did that, this happened, that happened, it wasn't right, they did this to me. And you can just go there immediately because you are bitter. And it will mess you up. And let me tell you how it messes you up. It'll mess you up with other people, your relationships with other people, and it will mess you up with God. So this is a big deal. This is a big deal because it hurts you when you do not forgive. Anne Lamott, who's an author, she wrote in one of her books this statement as she described unforgiveness. She said, let me tell you what unforgiveness is like. Unforgiveness is like drinking rat poison, hoping it will kill the other person. That's not a good plan. It hurts you. So, why should I forgive? Reason number one, the Bible says, is it's going to hurt you. Reason number two, because I will need to be forgiven. I will need to be forgiven. You will need to be forgiven. I will need to be forgiven. Look at this next verse. It's Jesus speaking in Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, that's pretty important. I mean, that gets my attention. I want to be forgiven. Let me tell you, I want to run to, please forgive me, God. I need a little grace and mercy here. Forgive me. I like that real quick. But I can be real slow toward, I need to forgive somebody? Well, I don't know. I don't know if they're worthy of it. I don't know if they deserve it. They didn't ask for it. Should I give it? I don't know. I'm mad. I'm hurt. I'm going to make them pay. I can be real slow toward giving forgiveness, but I want some forgiveness pretty quick. And so I'm so glad God didn't do like I do with me as I do that to other people. So we are to forgive. So how do we do this? I'm going to give you some practical steps. In fact, it's one way you can judge whether or not you've forgiven somebody. It's one kind of measure of that. And here it is. Whether or not you can pray for them. It is pray for those who hurt you. Pray for those who hurt you. If you can pray for them, then let me tell you, you know that you are in this process of forgiving them. Take a look at what it says in Matthew 5, 43 and 44. You have heard that it was said. Now Jesus is speaking here, and he's basically saying, hey, you guys kind of know this already. And this is kind of a common saying is what he means. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You need to pray for them. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of prayer where you go, God, please give them a really bad rash all over their whole body. I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. God, make them eat a bad enchilada. None of that, okay? We're not praying that way toward them. We are praying for their good. We're praying for them, not against them, okay? And that's one of the measures you can kind of tell what's going on here. And that praying for someone changes everything when that happens. And Jesus says a shocking statement. The common statement was, love your neighbor, you hate your enemies. I mean, the Jewish people, the people of the Bible, had in their culture, basically they were built around eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You know, if somebody does you wrong, you do them back. Which, by the way, this week I was thinking, that is the weirdest statement ever, a tooth for a tooth. That's kind of just weird. Anyway, I'll just chase that for a minute for you. That's just extra, okay? That's where they were at. And you think what Jesus says here, it's so different. He says, no, here's what I want you to do. I want you to love your enemies. And by the way, you ought to pray for them. When you can pray for somebody, let me tell you, you're in the process of forgiving them. With my father, let me tell you, when I knew I was in the process, when I could pray for him. He hadn't asked for it. Nothing had changed at that point. I just started praying for him. And I was able to. I was not able to for a period of time. Just saying. I wasn't. But I prayed for him. And that process is really, really important that you can pray for somebody. This is a big deal that we realize how we can do this. One other story that I want to tell you today, and I want to kind of keep them anonymous a little bit. But years ago, there was a person that I worked with that for whatever reason, at the time I didn't know what the reasons were. I just knew there was some weird stuff going on. But for whatever reason, this person backstabbed me as much as possible. Did things to try to make things look bad. I couldn't figure out I didn't know who was doing it. I just knew it was happening. Turns out that this person kind of later admits that they were, for whatever reason, threatened. I didn't even know that I was kind of threatening them or whatever, but they were just in this mode. And these bad things kept happening, things undercutting me, stabbing me in the back, all this kind of stuff. I'm like, what is going on? Finally, it came out that it was this person. Well, what happens in their life was pretty tragic. They end up losing their job. They ended up losing their marriage. Not because of this deal, because I was the only one, you understand. There were other people that he did the same thing to. And here's what happened. I'd come here as your pastor here at Crestview, and I'd been here a short time, and Rex Horn, former pastor here at Crestview, was getting inaugurated as the college president of Ouachita Baptist University, and I was going to be part of the kind of ceremony or whatever. I had a part in that. I was doing this one part of it. And so I knew I was coming back to this event, and I knew I would see this guy. I hadn't seen him in a long time. It had all kind of come out. Some of this had come out while I had been gone, moved to Midland, not in Arkansas anymore. And I knew I was going to see him. And sure enough, after the ceremony was all over, I see him. And I start walking toward him. Now let me tell you, I walk purposely toward him. And he got this look on his face like, ooh, what's he going to do when he gets here? And I got to tell you, I kind of did it on purpose. I'm just saying. I had forgiven him, though. You know, honestly, I had forgiven him. But I was walking, and I was like, I'm not going to avoid him. I'm going to go up to him, and I'm going to talk to him. And I'm talking to Athelina, and I remember her saying, you're going to probably see him. And I said, yeah, I probably am. She said, what are you going to do, and what are you going to say? So what was I going to say? And I walked up to him, and I just said, hey, man, I hope you're doing good. I know things have gone bad for you. I just want you to know, in a really sincere way, I'm praying for you. And I walked away. He kind of, when I got there, he was kind of like, what's he going to do mode. And then he was kind of shocked at what I said to him. And I still remember him coming. He then came back to me that same day, walked up to me, and he said, John, I want to thank you that you forgave me. Now, let me be very clear. He never asked me. All this stuff came out. I found out secondhand, all this kind of stuff, and all these things weren't bad for him and all that kind of thing. But earlier on, I had forgiven him. And again, I started praying for him. And it changed everything. Now, it wasn't immediate. I'm just saying, it wasn't immediate. It was a long time before I forgave him. But I did forgive him. You need to pray for those who hurt you. And then you need to do the second thing. The second thing is this. Forgive because you've been forgiven. You need to forgive because you have been forgiven. Take a look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, and notice what it says. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, have you been forgiven? Constantly and completely by Jesus. So that's how we're supposed to forgive. All the time, we need to be forgiven people. And then we need to do that completely when we do forgive. And it says, bear with each other. It might be a little messy, it might be a little hard, but go ahead and go for it. Do that. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to finish by digging into one passage where Jesus shows us a picture of someone who has been forgiven. Because we need to forgive because we have been forgiven. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 7. And we're going to look at this event that took place in Luke chapter 7. The first part that I'm going to read is not on your outline. It is going to come up on the screen. And we're going to begin in Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And we're going to go to verse 38. Notice what it says. Now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, these religious leaders. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. That's how they kind of ate back then. There was kind of a deal like that. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Now here's the deal. Earlier, Jesus had been invited to some sinner's house. It was a bunch of people that were notorious for maybe being thieves, prostitutes, tax collectors, people that nobody liked. And they invited Jesus, and Jesus went. He ate with them. Now, the religious leaders weren't too excited about that, kind of condemned him for doing that. But now, it's kind of like the other group says, all right, Jesus, why don't you come eat with us? These religious leaders. And they go, and Jesus goes and eats with them. And in the middle of this dinner, this really weird thing happens. This woman walks in the room. She's known in that town. She's known for being, the Bible says, a sinner. Most commentators believe that she was probably a prostitute. So here comes this prostitute. And understand, in the room, there are only men. That's how that dinner would have been. Only guys. Only woman in the room. She's ashamed, humiliated, but she's going to do what she's about to do. And she begins to, as she sees Jesus' feet that are dirty, which, by the way, was a custom. Kind of like us washing our hands before we eat dinner. Back then, you kind of washed your feet because you wore sandals. It's dusty, dirty, common courtesy. Okay? Which means that the Pharisee at the house, whose name's going to be Simon, as host, did not do his duty. It was kind of, it's a little slap in the face toward Jesus is what it is. Didn't take care of Jesus at all. And so she sees that and she begins with her tears. She is crying so much that she begins to clean the feet of Jesus. and then wiping his feet with her hair. Obviously, she didn't expect to cry this much. And actually uses her own hair and then takes this perfume and pours it on Jesus' feet. Now, let me tell you, this is so awkward. I mean, this is awkward. I mean, here, what's going on? I mean, I think everybody at the dinner felt awkward. What is this woman doing? And you know who this woman is? Oh my gosh, what is going on here? And you have this woman who has this realization that she is a sinner. See, she doesn't need another lesson on sin. She knows. She knows who she is. She knows her past. But she comes to this place of repenting, turning her life over, wanting forgiveness, and coming to Jesus because she knows Jesus is the one who can be her Savior and who can forgive her. Now, we're talking about some crying here. To cry enough to be able to clean somebody's feet, I mean, it's unbelievable. She is really, really crying in this situation. And in this whole scenario, she's never going to say one word. She never says a word, if you notice this, as we go through this, you'll notice she never says one word. And she has a past. But here's the thing. She gets close to Jesus, and I think in that moment, she starts crying because she realizes her sin. Let me tell you, that can happen to you too. In fact, anytime we get close to Jesus, we'll realize how sinful we are. That's going to be the result of getting close to Jesus. You and I will realize how sinful we are. And she realizes it totally. She knows. And so she is this person overcome with tears. And she is this humble, broken, devastated sinner right there in this kind of awkward situation at this dinner. And she basically worships Jesus. One of the words in the Bible for worship is to fall down on your face. And that's basically what she's doing here. And she's worshiping Jesus. She's being very sacrificial, very giving. She's giving everything she's got. She may not have much. I don't know how much she has. But she's going to pour out all this perfume, pretty valuable, all that kind of thing. So let's go on and see what happens. Take a look with me at the next verses, which is verses 39 and 40, and notice what it says. When the Pharisee who had invited him, Jesus, saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. Now, Simon's not saying this out loud. Again, this is his thoughts, and Jesus knows what he's thinking. Now, some of you, you have that problem. You know, some of you, it is an issue because if it comes in your mind, it's going to come out your mouth. Most of us, though, live in our mind. Okay? And we have these thoughts. And Simon the Pharisee has these thoughts. And here's his thoughts. He's thinking there are two categories of people. Holy people, not so holy people. And he's going, me? I'm in the holy category. Jesus, not sure about this guy. In fact, I'm thinking maybe in the unholy category. And this woman, definitely in the not holy category. That's what he's saying. He's thinking. Now here's the thing. He's right about one thing. He's right about one thing. There are two categories of people. Holy people and not so holy people. But here's the thing. You know who's in the holy category? Only Jesus. Everybody else. You, me, this woman, and Simon the Pharisee are in the not so holy category. And let me just say for us too. Anytime we get holy, we think we're holy and someone's not so much. We are making the same mistake Simon's making here. Anytime you think you get it figured out and you know better than God and you're going, "God, I know you want me to do this, but I'm not going to do that because I want to do what I want to do." Anytime you're in that mode, let me tell you, you are just like Simon here. Because you think you've got it all figured out. And let me tell you, we are all in the not so holy category. And so when we think about that and we realize that's who we really are, it changes everything. To realize we're not all that. We haven't got it all figured out. Now, here's the thing. Let me tell you. If you get close to Jesus, let me tell you what will happen. You will be broken. Because you realize the sin that you have. The debt that you owe. Let me ask you. You know, every one of us, every month, we receive stuff in the mail or online or some way of stuff we owe. You owe for a house, or you may owe for a car, or a credit card, or a school loan, or something. All these things, this is what I owe, and they're going to tell you about it and let you know, and then you've got to take care of it. What if God did that? What if God sent you out every month what you owe? You know, I wanted you to give here, and you didn't give. I wanted you to serve here, you didn't serve. Here's a situation I wanted you to show love and compassion towards someone and help them out, and you didn't do it. You walked right by it. Here's a situation where I wanted you to pray, and you didn't pray. What if God sent us a list every month? This is what you owe me. Here this woman is overwhelmed with what she owes. No one has to teach her about sin. She knows. She is broken. She is repentant. And she wants forgiveness from her Savior. And that is the life-changing decision that takes place. Let's go on and see what happens. Jesus says, I got something to say to you, Simon. He says, okay, what is it? Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Now, he tells a parable, a story that illustrates a point. Jesus says, okay, who's going to be happier about this forgiveness of the debt? Simon goes, I guess it's the guy with the extra zero. It's the guy that owes the most. Jesus goes, that's exactly right. Jesus is kind of going, Simon, here's the thing. You think that you don't owe much and that she owes a lot. Well, let's just say you're right. Then wouldn't it make sense that she would really be the most thankful, and why would you be weird about that? Yeah, that's how it would happen. That's exactly right. So here's the thing. When you and I are reading this right now, do not be thinking, I'm kind of like that woman. Maybe you need to be thinking, I'm kind of like Simon the Pharisee. Because that's who we're like. Notice what happens in verses 44 through 47. It says this. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, just as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little. I don't know if this is how it happened, but I kind of picture it this way. That Jesus is looking at the woman with a smile and love and compassion toward her, but he's talking to Simon, who's over to the side. And he says to Simon, do you see her? It's a great question. Do you see this person? Who are you seeing? You're seeing her and you're saying she's just a terrible, wicked, terrible person. Sinner. That's what you're saying. And you're kind of going, I'm pretty good. I'm kind of holy. She's not so much. And I feel better about myself. That's what you're seeing, Simon. So do you really see her? Do you see her? And what I want to ask you this morning, do you see you? Do you see you? When God sees you, what does he see? You know, the Bible says very clearly, when we're at our best and we're righteous, what is that like? It is like filthy rags. That's when we're at our best, not at our worst. What does God see when he sees you? Do you see this woman? Do you see yourself? You see, when we are forgiven and we realize how much we have been loved, it allows us to love someone else. And one of the ways that happens is we forgive them. Now, here's the deal. Why do we serve Jesus? Why do we give to Jesus? Why do we do all those things? Why? So that we'll become a Christian, so that we can have a relationship with him? No. It's not based on that. So why do we do it? Well, it's kind of like a husband and wife taking marriage vows. If the husband said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to commit to you. I will love you forever. I will forgive you always. I will never cheat on you. I will be faithful to you no matter what. And so in that ceremony, the wife, future wife, turns to the groom and would say something like this. So you're saying, no matter what, so I can do whatever I want to do? You mean I could kind of like cheat on you? Not be faithful to you? You're saying you're good with that? And we would say, what's the problem with these guys? I mean, does she not understand how much he loves her? Why is she doing that? It's not that we go and do whatever we want to do because we can be forgiven. You see, we would want and expect that bride to respond to that kind of love with the same kind of love. And as God has forgiven us, and we see ourselves clearly, we really see ourselves, then one of the things we're going to be able to do is to forgive somebody else and let it go. Let God take care of it. Forgive them. That is going to be such a key, and it's this whole process of this great love that has been shown. This woman was this generous, repentant worshiper. And Simon, you need to see her as she really is. You see, she loved Jesus much. She served, she gave, she was broken. And when we get close enough to Jesus, that's what's going to happen to us. Now, how do we do this? At the first of this message, I told you, I do not want this to be, oh, I guess I need to try a little harder. Oh, yeah, there are probably some people I need to forgive. I've got to try real hard. It's not going to work. You cannot forgive them. Our source of power is not us trying harder. Let's look at our source of power. And it is in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Notice what it says. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for those who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. It's because of Jesus' power that we can forgive. Anybody I ever forgave, my father, this other person, I did not forgive them because I just tried hard. Because, believe me, that would just lead me to not forgive them. Because I didn't want to. But it is because of Jesus' power that we must depend upon. And it will set us free. If you're going to get past your past, this has to happen. Guaranteed. You're not going to get past your past. And I want to say it as strong as I can say it. It will not happen if you do not forgive your hurts. It won't happen. And that kind of brings us to this final statement that you have printed there in your outline. It's getting bold there down at the bottom. And notice what it says. When you know how much Jesus loves you and you love him back, that's really important that you love him back. This is what this woman is doing, is loving Jesus back. Then everything changes. You're set free. You can forgive. They may not deserve it. They may never ask for it. Does not matter. You know how much Jesus loves you. Let that change you totally, and you will be able to forgive. Now, here's what I'd like to do as we finish. Take a look with me, if you would, at your connection card. On the back side of that connection card on the left are some next steps, and there's three huge next steps. And here they are. Step number one. I'm going to choose to forgive while depending upon the power of Jesus Christ. Some of you, that's why you're sitting here today, is you need to choose to forgive and get out of the prison. You got to start. The second thing, ask God for forgiveness and thank him for his love to me. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about when we're the one who caused the hurt, how do we go forward in that? For some of us, it is that we need to say, God, please forgive me. I need to be forgiven. And that last step, if you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, most important step you can ever make in your life, I want to encourage you to take that step today. We need to forgive because we have been forgiven. Because great love has been shown to us. And when we realize that, it changes everything because we want to love Jesus back. And that will spill out in our lives as we forgive other people. I'm going to lead us in prayer. And then we're going to have a time of commitment. And it's during that time that we sing together. We have the song of commitment. And out those doors are some folks who would be glad to pray with you, talk to you about any commitment. If you're ready to be all in at the church here and become a member, they'll be glad to get all that taken care of for you so you can become a member. Or if you're ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ, go talk to them and talk to them about that. They'll pray with you about that and talk to you about that, give you some things to help you in that process, to help you grow spiritually. But in that process, would you just simply be willing to take the next step? And for some of you today, you need to forgive. You need to get started. It's kept you back spiritually from things God wants to happen in your life. You've been fighting it. You're trying to deal with it. And it's kept you. And you're in prison. And it's time to let go of that and get out of that prison through forgiveness. Let's pray together. God, I pray that you would help us realize that because of your death upon the cross, that we can give forgiveness. Help us to realize how much you've forgiven us. Help us to put away our pride and to repent and turn to you. I pray, as I've been praying this week, that here in this service there be some folks that just start with forgiveness so that they can get past their past and go toward what you have for them. God, we pray that that would happen right now. And that's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.